You got sound?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Father, as always, you're such a wonderful God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this training center. Thank you for our apostle. Thank you for these students, the other instructors. Father, may your agenda be accomplished with us being here tonight. Holy Spirit, what is it you want us to hear? What is it you want us to learn? And what is it you want us to discover? We're holding on to you, Holy Spirit. Nobody can escort us into the supernatural like you can. You were created for this, and we honor you, and we're thankful for you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight, I want to continue in chapter 10. I may be redundant in some things, because, of course, after I finish teaching, I always go over what I taught and read and always reading, so the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking. So I may be redundant in some things, but the purpose of redundancy is to, again, jolt your hearing so that the Holy Spirit can prick your thought process. Amen. One of the things I love about meditation is it allows Isaiah 1 and 18 to take place. Let us reason together. When we reason together with God, or the Holy Spirit, who is the very Spirit of God, when we reason and allow the Holy Spirit to be involved with our thinking, it gives us the opportunity to be exposed to the thoughts of God. Most people try to read the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. Whenever you try to read the Word of God without the Holy Spirit, you will be confused. And the reason why is because it was the very Spirit of God that inspired the writing of the Scriptures. So tonight I may be redundant in some things, but once again, chapter 10 out of the whole book is by far my favorite chapter, because it begins to give us the purpose of covenant. It begins to give us it gives us insight into why we should be in covenant. And if as we go through these points, you'll see that it's mutually beneficial. And they're designed to be mutually beneficial. And so you'll see where other people benefit, but you'll see also where you benefit. And so, again, it goes back to one of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So my thing is I always put myself in the shoes of other people when I'm dealing with people. If I am in their shoes, how would I want to be treated? And whatever my answer is, that's how I act accordingly. And so you'll find yourself very rarely planting seeds that you don't want to come up. Because you're treating others, you're acting in covenant. You're having integrity, you're having honor. And so this chapter will help us do that. As we talked about last week, one of the first purpose or reasons for covenant is for a new level relationship in intimacy. Now, this is important. I was meditating this weekend on covenant and meditating on the apostolic, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and began to talk to me about intimacy. The reason why most people don't want to become intimate in covenant, especially in a kingdom setting, is because intimacy has one particular purpose. And intimacy, the purpose of intimacy is to reveal who you really are. That's the purpose of intimacy, to reveal who you really are. We go through this on a daily basis with people we come in contact with, some people we develop relationships with, and sometimes we confide in people. That means you're becoming intimate. They begin to know things about you that other people don't know. Now, here's one of the most powerful things about intimacy, especially in the spirit world. The reason why you want to become intimate with those you're in covenant with, intimate with your leader, becoming a disciple, somebody who really is focused on following, focused on what is in the heart of the leader. I want that to be in my heart. When you say that, you're now opening the door for intimacy. Now, one of the most powerful things about intimacy is that intimacy will always, listen at me, will always reveal your weaknesses. Most people, let's admit it, most people do not want to become intimate because it reveals weaknesses. Now, those very weaknesses that are revealed in intimacy are the is the very thing that's stopping you from going to the next level. So in covenant, when you become intimate, when you get close to your leader and your leader is able to see clean through you, what you're allowing is you're allowing every weakness to be exposed. Weaknesses that you know about and weaknesses that you don't know about. When you do that, you allow that person to strengthen you in that area, which builds you to go to the next level in where God has you to go. Because it is your weakness that's stopping you from going to that next level, whatever it may be. So intimacy will always expose weaknesses. And the reason why most people don't want to become intimate with their pastor, with their leader, I don't want to get too close. I'm gonna keep my distance. The real reason is because they don't want to reveal weaknesses that they have. See, I know people that want the results of their leader, but don't want to be intimate. Are you getting this? They want the results, but don't realize that the reason why they can't get the results is because of the weaknesses that will be exposed and strengthened. See, most people think having a weakness exposed, is a handicap, but it's not a handicap. Not in the kingdom. In the world system, it may be a handicap, but in the kingdom, It is a stepping stone to the next level, because I can't go to the next level as I am. Because when I watch this, old Baptist saying is when you go to the next level, they got bigger demons. So you can't go to that next level with the same strength you got on this level. You got to be equipped and ready to go to the next level. When you start dealing with territorial spirits, and you start dealing with territorial principalities and strongholds, you cannot deal with those territorial principalities and strongholds on your current level.
That's right.
So therefore, that's why intimacy, because I'd rather have my weaknesses exposed to somebody who provides security and protection. Rather than it being exposed by the enemy. Because when my weakness is exposed by the enemy, it's very hard to recover from. But when the weakness is exposed by somebody who has my best interest at heart, then I can be exposed and allowed to be strengthened. Is that making sense? So this is why when you begin to come into covenant, you have to go through three levels. Because number one, you got to make sure that when you become an intimate, are you, and when I say intimate, I'm talking about spiritually, when you become an intimate, you allow this person to read your mail.
True.
You're allowing this person. See, one thing about an apostle is, for me, is that I want the Holy Spirit to expose me.
Absolutely.
I want the Holy Spirit because I trust who he is. I trust the level of trust that God has in him. You see this? So therefore, I don't mind when he comes along and said, hey, you need to do this, or you need to stop doing this, or you're doing this well, do it a little bit more. Because now what's happening is you're being sharpened and you're being exposed, and any weakness that exists is being strengthened.
Right.
Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
But most people are so afraid of their weaknesses being exposed that they won't get intimate. They won't get that. They won't get close. They won't. They don't want. I want what he got. I want the same results, but I don't know if I want to be held accountable. Is that making sense? So there are three levels that you have to go through. First, there's acquaintanceship. I stated this earlier in our classes, that you can't just haphazardly walk in the covenant. You have to know who you're coming in the covenant with. That means there's a time when you sit back and watch them. Watch what they do. Watch how they react. Then you must come to friendship. And finally, you must come to fellowship. Fellowship is when you begin to, for us, fellowship is when my leader is speaking, I'm there listening. See, when my leader has an assignment, I have an assignment. Most times, people who have trouble with intimacy haven't even been intimate with God the Father. Most times, most people who have issue with intimacy have not been intimate with God the Father. Other words, they haven't let God get close enough. I know there is a God. I see God move, but I ain't so sure about that. Those who understand the power of covenant realizes that the opportunity to enter this level of relationship is worth grabbing. See, covenant, in the right sense of the word, in kingdom sense of the word, is so valuable because it's very rare. Because, number one, here's the reason why. Our country, America, is built on individualism. Yes, sir. Every man for himself.
Right.
And if I do come into partnership with you, it's only because it's going to benefit me. So when you really find a man or woman of God that's more concerned about what God wants than what you want. Notice what I said. It's more concerned about what God wants more than what you want. See, if you find a man or woman of God that's more, listen a minute, that's more concerned about what God wants rather than what you want, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Why? Because God is the Father of us all. And he's never going to give anybody instructions to hurt you.
Right. Yes, sir.
So if you got a man or woman of God that's more concerned with what God wants than what you want, you're in good hands. You might not like it all the time. He might not like it all the time, but you're in good hands. And you're in good leadership. Because God is not going to give instructions to destroy anything or any of his people. When God told Moses to go talk to Pharaoh, and Moses going to talk to Pharaoh, Pharaoh got upset. Pharaoh got upset and said, look, since Moses come and talk all this noise to me, y'all going to make bricks, and I'm going to take away some of your material. Now, it looks as if Moses was making things worse. But Moses really wasn't concerned about the people of God.
Right. Wow.
All Moses was trying to do, Lord, I'm going to tell Pharaoh what you told me to tell him.
Right.
Now, in the end, at the time, but the whole time the Bible says God was trying to harden Pharaoh's heart. So that he can do.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me tell y'all a secret. Here, side journey. Just learned this myself. There's a gentleman that I was talking to. His family is going through a certain situation, and I called him. Well, actually, I didn't call. I saw him personally, and I told him that I was standing with him. You know, my family, I was standing. We prayed with him. If you need anything, let me know. He said, "Man, because I said I didn't approach you because I didn't want to be in your business. You know, I don't want to invite myself into your business. I just want to let you know that I don't need no details. I'm just here. If you need, bam, I'm here. You know." So he said, "Man, my business is your business. We family." I said, "Okay, cool." He said, "But man, I pulled my family to the side." He said, "I pulled my family to the side. I told my family, now people are gonna say some things about us. People are gonna judge us. People are going to accuse us." He said, "But we're not going to waste energy trying to defend that." Watch this now. Watch this. Watch what he said. He said, "We're going to walk in love. We're going to walk in humility. And we're going to walk in grace." Wow. What the three are?
Love, humility,
love, humility, and grace. I need y'all writing this down. Now, this is going to be important. Because when I tell you what the Holy Spirit spoke to me right after he said that, you're going to want to walk in this at all times and in all situations. I have scripture to back it up. What the three are?
Love, humility, and grace.
Love, humility, and grace, right?
Yes, sir.
When he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "When you're walking all three of those, you now untie my hands so I can be sovereign." See, most people don't understand the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is God doing what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And nobody can do nothing about it.
Right.
But the problem is we want the sovereignty of God to work on our cue.
Yeah.
But the sovereignty of God can't work on our cue. It can only work on his cue.
Right. Right.
So what's the best way for God to let God work on his cue? When I walk in love, I walk in humility, and walk in grace. I walk in love. That's really obedience to God. You walk in humility, meaning I'm not going around trying to brag or trying to tell how powerful, or I'm going to get this situation straight. We're going to get this right. My God going to show up on my behalf. This is what's going to happen. No, you walk in humility. And you walk in grace, which is I'm empowered. But I don't have to tell everybody I'm empowered. See, that's what Jesus walked in. Jesus walked in love, he walked in humility, and he walked in grace. And so it unleashed the sovereignty of God on his behalf at all times. So when Moses was walking in love, walking in humility, and walking in grace. And therefore God's sovereignty was unleashed. So there was nothing Pharaoh could do to stop what God wanted to happen. Why? Because Moses, by walking in love, listen, I'm about to tell you something, by walking in love, walking in humility, and walking in grace, got out of the way.
Yeah.
See? So now God can do exactly what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So many times we walk in situations, we deal with things, we want to handle it. We want to take the word and we want to deal with it.
Yeah.
We take the word and we try to hammer the situation into and shape the situation in what we want it to be. When a lot of times we don't really realize what God may be trying to do through this situation. So when we walk in love, other words, if I'm being attacked, I'm not going to attack you back. If you especially, you got to use this with family people, with family members. If you I'm not trying to convince you to believe what I believe. I'm just going to walk this out. I'm going to walk in grace. And then when I do that, I let the Lord fight my battles. Are you seeing this? That's all Moses did. So a lot of times what happens is your leader is more concerned with what God wants than what you want. So at the time, it might not look like they're concerned about you. But if they're concerned with what God wants, see, watch how this works. God told you this is your leader. This is who you're supposed to be connected to. This is who you're coming to covenant with, right? So now your leader is concerned about what God wants, right? So God is going to give the leader instructions to advance all of us. So God ain't gonna give the leader instructions that cause us to stunt our growth, that cause us not to mature. So sometimes decisions are made to force you to mature. Is this making sense? So therefore, you can't be scared to become intimate. You can't be scared to commit, to say, I'm in this. I'm committed. I'm not afraid to be. I'm not afraid to be associated. Are you seeing this? So it puts a lot of times we're trying to fight stuff that we don't need to be fighting. We're trying to fight battles and trying to convince people and trying to look, listen. One of the greatest gifts that God ever gave man is the power to choose. So it's not up to me to make you choose nothing. If you won't go to hell, guess what? Bust it wide open. I don't care. I don't want you to go, but if that's what you want, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? God feels the same way. If you want to go to hell, he don't want you to go, but if you want to go to hell, guess what? He created you. Go. You know, that's what he told Adam and Eve. He say, that's what y'all want to do, that's fine. But you can't stay here. You got to get out of here. You can't stay here in the condition you in. Because you're going to mess stuff up. You're saying this. So you don't have to go around trying to convince people. If you witness to somebody and they reject it, then you planted the seed. That's you know, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal because, thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch this. Here's what we as humans, here's one of the things that we make a mistake on. You don't need nobody else to believe what you believe for it to work for you. Yeah. Hear what I just said. I just said a mouthful. You don't need nobody else to believe what you believe for it to work for you. See, we want to try to get people. We need a bandwagon. We need the people to get on our bandwagon. You don't really need nobody to get on your bandwagon. Because you don't need the belief, the unbelief of other people does not stop God from working in your life. So you don't have to go around with life missions trying to make people believe. You follow the Holy Spirit. You witness to who you can witness to. And those that don't take it, don't you take it personal. Don't take it personal. So therefore, I don't have to, especially with family members. I don't have to convince. I'm not going to sit here and try to convince. Now, if you keep bombarding me and trying to tell me how I'm not doing it, I'm going to tell you shut up. I don't want to hear it because you're not going to change how I think. So if you leave me alone, I leave you alone. But I'm not going to be sitting there trying to convince you. I'm going to walk in love with you. Yeah. I'm going to walk in humility. Yeah. And I'm going to walk in grace. Amen. And let the Lord do what he wants to do. Right. Are you seeing this? When you allow intimacy to take place, talking about covenant, talking about the next level of intimacy, it provides a greater place of safety and protection. It provides a greater place of safety and protection. Other words, when a leader knows that you are allowing them to, put like this, let me say it like this. When a leader knows that you are allowing God to shape you through them. Yeah. I said that right. That's why I'm looking for the right way to say it. You're allowing God to shape you through them. They are now will provide greater protection and safety for you. So when you become intimate, leaders will go out of their way to make sure you get it, to make sure you understand. to make sure that you're progressing as compared to somebody who's not committed. Is that making sense? People in covenant begin to create avenues to help provide whatever is needed for their partner's progress and success. Did I just say that?
Yes,
I just said that. A leader will, that's what a leader does. A leader, the true purpose of a leader is to make sure that those that follow and get to where they are.
Wow.
There's no other reason for a leader.
Right.
There's no other purpose for a leader.
Right.
There's no other purpose for a leader but to get those that are following to where they are. That's it. If the leader has any other motive, the people are in trouble. Whenever there is a maturity of covenant, there is an unusual level of relationship that is deep and meaningful. Other words, the relationship means something to you. When your leader speaks, Now, people have a problem. Listen a minute. People have a problem with this. And I don't have a problem with it, but most people have a problem with it because they try to throw all preachers in the same bag.
Right.
I'm just being straight up. I'm being straight up as I can be, honest as I can be. I don't hear nobody's voice clearer than that of my apostle.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's the way God designed. That's who he assigned me to. That's who's been speaking into my life. So, yeah, other ministers have good words, and I do learn some things. But when it comes to me making major decisions in my life, God has never used anybody else to speak into my life besides my apostle. And watch this. If anybody else has spoken a major word or allowed me to make a decision, helped me to make a decision in my life, it's because they were somehow connected to an apostle.
Right. Right.
See, what happens is God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. So what Satan likes to do, Satan likes to keep you unfocused. He likes to keep you unfocused. God wants to keep you focused. So people try to figure out how I know I hear the voice of God. When do I know it's the voice of God? How do I know it's the voice of God? Well, the way you know it's the voice of God is by, number one, by relationship and fellowship. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a what? Stranger, they won't follow. So in order, now, you know, I know I might have went over this before, but it's a good illustration. The reason why the illustration of Jesus say, reason why he used that illustration that my sheep hear my voice is because a shepherd, when he creating a herd, stays with the sheep 24/7 until the sheep gets a chance to understand their voice. So therefore, when the sheep learns their voice, it could be 1,000 voices out there, but when that shepherd gives the command, the sheep hears that voice and goes to that command. And so it's not about decibels or loudness. It's not about even audible or not audible. It's really about relationship. So now, being that it's about relationship, when you spend time with God, and watch this, you spend time listening to who God has connected you to, you begin to develop a keen sense of when God is talking and when he is not talking. Even to the point that you can recognize God's voice even when ain't nothing being said. I hope you see that. You can sense God. Samuel, obviously, Samuel gave us a great example of how accurate God's voice can be and how God is not trying to trick us. If you remember the story of Samuel with Eli, God called Samuel. Samuel ran into Eli. And when Eli perceived that it was the voice of God, he said, next time you hear that voice, say, Lord, here am I. What you want me to do? Now, in order for Samuel to run to Eli, the voice had to have some similarity
right. Yeah.
To the voice of Eli. That means Samuel, Hannah, Samuel's mother, had promised God, if you give me this son, I'm going to let him serve you. Brought him when he was born, brought him to the temple and put him under the tutelage of Eli. And he spent time with Eli. Eli began to teach him the ordinances and the laws of God. So he began to learn that voice. So when God decided to speak, God said, I'm going to use the voice of Eli, a voice that he's familiar with. You see, so hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of God is about relationship and fellowship. Because when, watch this, go to Romans 12th chapter. Talking about when the covenant becomes meaningful, deep and meaningful. Romans 12 and 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Now watch this. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now you have checks and balances. By you spending time in the Word of God, spending time meditating His Word, spending time reading His Word, it says, so you may be able to prove. The word prove there means recognize.
Okay.
So watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may recognize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So by spending time with the Word, I'm able to recognize my sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So therefore, you get to a point where it doesn't matter how the voice sounds, where it's coming from, you'll be able to recognize if this is God or not. See, that's you can only learn that by consistently spending time with God. You can only learn that by consistently spending time with God and listening to who God has connected you to.
Yes, sir.
See, because watch this. What's the checks and balances? The checks and balances, I got the Word of God under my belt, right? I'm studying the Word of God. I'm studying to show myself approved under God, a workman that needed not, you know, I'm studying. Right. So therefore, I hear something. Mm-hmm. I immediately take what I hear, compare it to the Word.
Right.
If the two don't match up, that ain't God.
Right.
So therefore, when I spend time with the Word, a voice can come. I can, you know, you can hear it can come through. However it won't come, however it won't sound through, whatever vessel won't come through, I can tell whether or not if it's God or not. Even when somebody try to get personal, trying to prophesy. If it don't line up with what God has told me, what God has showed me, then I ain't trying to hear that. Are you seeing this? God will never send somebody to speak into your life without first talking to you. Oh, God will never send. See, that's the checks and balances. See, God is not going to use your leader to speak something to your life from which he hadn't already pricked your heart about. See, whenever your leader speaks into your life, God has already talked to you about it. You just didn't listen. You just didn't listen. You heard him, but you said, I got proof. See, a lot of preachers be using that widow woman trying to raise an offering with the barrel of meal. They be trying to use that widow woman. They be trying to prostitute the people of God using that widow woman. But what they fail to realize is there's a phrase in there The Bible says, told Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So that means God had already spoken to this widow woman, knowing she was at the bottom of the barrel of meal. So when Elijah arrived and spoke to this woman, it wasn't out the blue. This woman wasn't shocked. She wasn't surprised. God had already spoke to her. So therefore, when it comes time to receive an offering, whenever a man or woman of God try to use that scripture, God better have already spoken to me. If not, you're not getting a dime. Because all that was orchestrated by God. The Bible says he told Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. That means, Elijah, before you leave here, I've already told this widow woman to take care of you when you come. So when the woman tried to renege on it. How many times have you tried to renege on what God has told you to do, and your leader got to come and confirm it for you? And now you all in tears, say, Lord, you told me, you told me, Lord, you told me. See, that's what covenant does. That's what intimacy does. That's what being close does. If you're not close, then your man or woman of God ain't gonna bother.
Right.
Because now, watch this. If you're not close, helping you when you ain't close ain't gonna do nothing but hurt you.
Right.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So God has spoken to that widow woman and said, my servant is coming to town. I know you're at the bottom. I know you ain't got much. When he comes to town, I want you to sustain him. Now, here's the wonderful thing about covenant and being intimate. Because this woman, she had to be real with Elijah. Look, Elijah, I ain't just the bottom. This it. I'm going to go break this for me and my son, and we're going to die. So don't come. I ain't really got enough for you. But if you notice, God, talking about intimacy. God dried up the brook and stopped the ravens from feeding Elijah just so he can go to this woman. Because he had no reason to leave, because, are you getting this? Ravens was feeding him, and it was a drought everywhere else, but water was coming to that brook for Elijah. So God dried that up, stopped the ravens just so he would go and put himself in a position to help this woman in her weakness. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So that's why we can't be scared of intimacy. We can't be scared of covenant. We can't be scared of allowing God to use somebody to shape us and to mold us. Because as I said earlier, we said this before, there's some things on the inside of us that won't be manifested until somebody's able to challenge us. See, God ain't playing no games. God ain't trying to trick us. God ain't trying to keep the mysteries from us.
Right.
But the reason why certain things are hidden in God is because God want to know, do you really want them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you really want me? Yeah. Or you just want what I got?
Right.
See, that's why you have to get to a level of intimacy, so that God can dig out and implant whatever needs to be dug out and place whatever needs to be placed. You see this? So God is not going to use your leader to chart your destiny. Your destiny has already been charted. But what he will use your leader to do is help you discover your destiny. The Bible says, out of mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be what?
Established.
He said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So therefore, God is not going to leave you hanging with just the voice of somebody else. God going to speak to you for himself. But the problem is, sometimes the voice of God, if we're not trained properly, Satan can become the voice of God. And so now what happens if You start hearing all these things and you ain't got nobody to hold you accountable. Satan could easily slip in. That's how people get tripped up. That's how people do things, start things, go and try things, because they don't really want to hear the word no. They don't really want to hear the word that don't make no sense. They don't really want. I've heard from God. Where have you heard from God? Why you come and ask me?
Right.
Why are you asking me what I think if you heard from God and you don't want to hear the truth? So, lesson, and I close with this. Lesson. Don't go ask your leader nothing if you don't want to know the truth. Keep it to yourself and just go and do it. And just, if it was God, okay. If it wasn't God, okay. Either way, you got to deal with the results. You see, I've seen so many people come to Apostle and ask him his opinion, and they get upset with him because it didn't come out like you thought it was going to come out. Well, what? Wait a minute. That don't make no sense. Because he didn't know before.
Right.
He wasn't bothered with it before. So there was no reason for you to get mad before. So now the only reason why you mad is because it ain't come out like you. Or is it because you didn't get the blessing to go do what you want to do? Are y'all seeing this? See, covenant, and more importantly, the apostolic or divine order of the government of God, is the freest place you'll ever be. It is the freest place. The Garden of Eden was the freest place that Adam and Eve could ever be. Why? I mean, where else could you spend time with God on a daily basis? Not only was God going to treat you the best you could be treated, but he was going to teach you how to be like him. Teach you how to walk like him. Teach you how to create things like him. Teach you how to be him. And then not only that, he was going to allow you to go and be him. But yet, because we don't want to be held accountable, all that slipped through the cracks. And so now we left with trying to hear God for ourselves, trying to find what God is, trying to chart, but also find our destiny on our own. When covenant is the only way that you can really find your destiny. Because God never meant for anybody to be by themselves. God never meant for anybody to walk by themselves. Even Jesus himself chose the 12. Because Jesus knew, I can't be here forever. I'm going to have to pour myself into these 12 guys so that when I come to do, they'll be able to take it and begin to establish it. So that means that those 12 guys couldn't have their own agenda. So when they asked Jesus a question, they was ready to hear the truth. They wasn't hearing it trying to get Jesus' blessing. They didn't ask it trying to get a blessing for something that they concocted on their own. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
See, I'm telling you, man, covenant, when we start talking about the purpose of covenant and getting, we even get past the first one, the talking about this intimacy, it's important. Now, what I mean by intimacy is you're giving the Holy Spirit permission to shape you through your leader. Meaning I'm willing to commit and get close enough that my mail can be read if necessary. That if I'm going the wrong direction, I can be stopped. If I'm going the right direction, I can be encouraged.
so that I can walk this path that God has been thinking about. That God has already I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So without being intimate, without going to this new level of covenant, of intimacy, it's going to be very hard for you to walk into your destiny. Because if you walk, watch this, if you walk, it's almost like walking into the water, knowing you can't breathe in the water without scuba gear. You need to let a scuba instructor put on scuba gear on you so that weakness can be eliminated, so that you can go swimming and look at all the beautiful fish. But a lot of times that's like going to another level. See, when you go to another level, you're going to have some apparatuses and some equipment. Spend time spiritually. You're going to need some apparatus. You're going to need something to go to the next level. You can't deal with the demons of the next level with what you know now. You're going to have a grace. You're going to have apostolic covering. You're going to have permission to go there. You're going to have permission to go there. You can't just go to a level in the spirit without first having permission. That's divine order. See? The seven sons of Sceva tried to go to a place in the spirit realm for which they weren't. If you go back and study, Sceva. Sceva was a priest, but he was unauthorized. Wow. Go back and do your study on Sceva. And because they were the seven sons of Sceva, and he had a unauthorized priesthood, when they saw a real man of God do some things, they thought they could do it. What that scripture really saying is they didn't have permission to go to that level in the spirit to deal with those demons. Why? Because what the demon said. I love the scriptures because the scriptures don't leave you hanging. The demons just say, Jesus, I know. So you can't say, oh, he's the son of God. That's why they knew him. Paul was a heathen of heathens that got born again because of Jesus, and them demons recognized him. Why? Because Paul had permission to go to that level in the spirit. You see what I'm saying? Because why? Paul was intimate and allowed his weaknesses to be dealt with. He allowed his intimacy allowed his weakness to be dealt with. So therefore, he had permission to go to that level. Can you imagine this? The demon, not only called Jesus' name, said, Paul, I know. If I'm correct, didn't he call Paul's name first, didn't he? I guess the demon said, I know Jesus in heaven, but this one here, Paul, let me tell you, so Paul I know, and also I know Jesus, but, who are you? Are y'all seeing this? See, intimacy is important. Intimacy, allowing those weaknesses to be dealt with, when you allow those weaknesses to be dealt with, it gives you permission to go to the next level in the spirit realm. See, what happens is, the reason why we have so many churches that are dysfunctional, ain't going nowhere, ain't doing that, going through the motions, going through the same rigmarole on Sunday mornings, people going through the motions of church, is because they don't want that intimacy. Satan is putting their hand on the church and keeping them down because they can't go to the next level, because there's no apostolic order, no divine order, no intimacy, no weaknesses being dealt with. There's no agenda. So next week, we'll try to get to number 2. All right? We'll try to get to number 2. But I want you to really consider, you know, what it means to be intimate. I'm closing here. What it means to be intimate. Taking your leader and what they say seriously. What I mean by taking it seriously, when they call a meeting, I'm going to do everything in my power to be there. during the week, I'm listening at what they're saying. Yeah. Do you realize that a lot of times God will give you the answer to your situation? Yeah. You might not have heard it Sunday morning, but when you listen at it again, I don't know how many times that happened to me. I was dead live in the flesh on Sunday morning. But then when I listened at it again, the MP3 again, or the tape again, the CD again, I'm like, man, that's my answer. I didn't hear that Sunday morning. But at the time, you're ready to hear it at that moment. I'll see y'all next week.